decision to ask the taxpayers for more money in an operating budget referendum. And we're going to go over the numbers a little bit later on. But more money in an operating budget referendum. And Mitch was going after, I mean, it's actually a podcast worth downloading. Mitch was going after on administrative salaries and labor costs. And frankly, she blew a lot of that off. But my favorite cut as I'm listening to this interview had to be when she asserted that we just don't spend money on education. Dave, I want people to hear the whole thing. It's about 34 seconds long. Play that cut from Mitch Hanks' Outside the Box program this morning.
Since the 1970s, our government has paid no attention to education. While there are countries all over the world that are making incredible investments because their countries are taxed, and they are pouring this into education, pouring it in, and they're getting incredible results. Whoa. So every time you see our country compared to another country, you have to say to yourself, why is that the case? And the case is that money is going into education. Whoa. But since Sputnik era, we have put no money in this country into our children's education. None.
Okay. I don't know what planet Marge lives on, but you have to either assume that everybody listening is too stupid to realize that that was the most preposterous, flagrantly full of crap comment ever made by a school board member, or she really is dumb enough to think that since 1957, the beginning of the Sputnik era, we have put no money to education. None. No money. You know what? We are never going to let her live down that comment. That is going to be preserved forever on my website at WIBA.com, keyword Vicky. Now, whether or not you support this $8.1 million spending proposal, is not the case in this particular point, given what Marge Passman said. It is the spectacular insult that she just leveled against the taxpayers of the Madison Metropolitan School District, or her spectacular ignorance of what the reality is with spending on education. But might I point out that in the 1970s, it was official. The Federal Department of Education was created. And since then, education spending has not been cut. Even Ronald Reagan was unable to cut federal education spending. The best he could do was limit increases. Oh, my God. Under George W. Bush, the evil George W. Bush, per year education spending has gone up 18%. 18% since 1999. These are the numbers I have here. I wasn't able to go back any further because I didn't have enough time. Since 1999 in the state of Wisconsin, education spending has gone up 42.6%. In the Madison Metropolitan School District, education spending has gone up 37.6%. What planet is this broad living on that she thinks that since the Sputnik era, we haven't spent any... That's 1957, folks. 1957, I looked it up. I was thinking to myself, Sputnik, that's early 1960s. Wrong. 1957, we haven't spent any money on education. And then just for fun, I decided to bust out an old copy of School Facts. And if you want to take a look at the Madison Metropolitan School District per pupil education spending, you are talking about higher per pupil education spending than any of our peer districts. Any of them. Appleton, Green Bay, Janesville, Kenosha, Middleton, Racine, Sun Prairie, Verona. Now, I left out Milwaukee because I really don't consider that a peer district, but we beat Milwaukee in education spending per pupil as well. And that is total expenditures per student. If you just look at education expenditures per student, we still waste the rest of the group. Appleton, Green Bay, Janesville, Kenosha, Middleton, Racine, Sun Prairie, Verona. We beat everybody in per pupil spending. Okay, let's go to student-teacher ratios. We must be monkeying around with student-teacher ratios. No! Madison Metropolitan School District has a lower ratio of student to teacher than Appleton, Green Bay, Janesville, Kenosha, Middleton, Racine, Sun Prairie, Verona. Kooky, isn't it? We're not spending money on education. We spend more money every single year. That woman is delusional. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey.
Got a little rant going there.
I'm not going to be insulted like that. By the way, I know where you're going, and I happen to have data on what you're about to talk about as well, Jason. Go ahead.
I don't necessarily agree with you that we're spending too much. I didn't say
we're spending too much. I said we're spending a buttload.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm okay with spending the money, but I want to see better results for the money I'm spending. You know, I'm paying property taxes. I know that the United States doesn't even rank in the top 10 anymore for education for our high schoolers.
I don't think we do. I don't think we do either. But a lot of the countries that are beating us actually spend less on education.
So that's what I mean. If we're spending more, we should be. There's really no excuse for us to be anywhere but number one in the world.
You know, so you want results. You want the kids to be smart. You want kids with more than a pulse,
right,
breathing through their mouth, graduating from school. You want kids who are able to go into college without needing remedial courses, right? You want kids who are able to read by the time they're out of fourth grade.
Well, if we're spending the most money in the entire world on our public education system, then we should have the best public education system, and we don't.
We were spending north of a little bit over, I believe, the federal education budget was a little bit north of $80 billion last year. I'm looking at our test scores, by the way, and we are being outclassed by other districts. If you look at fourth grade test scores, we're being outclassed by Middleton. We're being outclassed by Verona. We're tied with Sun Prairie. We're tied with Appleton. I mean, it's really kind of, for the kind of money that we're pouring into education, even though Marge Passman is delusional and thinks we're not spending any money whatsoever, I'm with you. We ought to be able to do more with the amount of money that we're spending. Now, they're going to say, oh, it's mandates, it's special education, it's English as second language. You know what? You better figure out a way to make the money matter and make the money count. They don't want to pursue any kind of other options. They don't want to look and fight with the teachers' union. They don't want to go after curriculum issues. I won't say they. Most of them don't. Some of them do, but most of the folks who are involved in education,
you know,
in Madison don't.
You know what, Vicki? My mom, she's a special ed teacher at one of the high schools. I'm not going to say which one. But, you know, she's telling me, you know, that they don't put the money a lot of times where they should put it. And they want to throw all the kids from the special ed program. They want to throw them in with the regular kids.
Yeah, and mainstream them. Yeah.
Exactly.
They want
the money doesn't get spent right. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, they have the money that they need, but they don't spend it right, and they don't use it right, and we don't get the results that I think that the taxpayers deserve.
Well, consider as well that the way we do administrative salaries and how many teachers we actually have in administration. Consider the way we do the negotiations with the teachers. In fact, Marge Passman said this on Mitch's show. You know, here we are. We're dealing with this budget issue. We're dealing with this referendum. Come next time the labor contracts need to be renegotiated, we may not even have enough money after this referendum. And it's always one after the other after the other. And if you don't spend the money, if you don't let us take more of your money, we're going to cut programs. We're going to cut back on kids. You never see cutbacks in administration. You don't see people offering to sell buildings, consolidate schools, really take a look at these curriculum practices, find different ways for efficiencies. You don't see that coming from the majority in the Madison Metropolitan School District. I've talked to teachers who are so frustrated. By the way, folks, I'm not bagging on teachers. I don't want people to think this is me bagging on teachers. That's not what I'm doing. It's this idea that if only we spent enough money on education, we spend more than most. We spend more than most school districts in America in Madison. We spend more than every other country. And, you know, the idea that somehow we're just not getting it done with our tax dollars is preposterous, which is not to say I don't support this referendum, folks. You may support the referendum, but don't buy this load of BS coming from the school board that the United States just doesn't care about the kids. That's a bunch of baloney. That is a delusional thing to say. Dave, welcome.
I've got a 16-year-old son in one of the local schools, he just loves it when they have some of these No Child Left Behind kids in his classes, because it just brings the curve down on his class. Makes his class just absolutely easy for him.
Shifting about the quality of achievement levels throughout the grades. I love that too. You don't want to track the smart kids with the smart kids and put the slow kids with the slow kids. No, because we have to make sure we balance it out, and the smart kids will do the jobs of what teachers are supposed to do and the curriculum is supposed to be by raising the dumber kids up. Yeah, that ought to be great for the kid who doesn't like the idea that the curve is going to be set high on the calculus test. But then again, we're not probably talking about calculus, because those kids, frankly, couldn't make it into that class in the first place. All right, real quickly, I've got to take a quick break. Scott, I need you to hold on. We'll take some more phone calls and come back. We'll play that cut from Mitch's show as well again, his interview with Marge Passman and her spectacular statement about how we're not just spending any money. Not enough money, mind you, folks. She said we're just not spending money. We don't spend money. She said no money, comma, none. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the occupied territory, Up Front with Vicki McKenna on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Resistance is futile.
Every Tuesday morning starting at 7 a.m., log on to SaveBigOnGolf.com. You can get 18 holes of golf for just $25. But remember, there's only 100 certificates available, and they do go fast. This week's featured course is the Ridges Golf Course. Try a new course or make it an extended weekend. See some beautiful parts of central Wisconsin. The front nine of the Ridges Golf Course finishes up with some tight holes with trees narrowing the fairways. The back nine begins on a ridge with a tee shot overlooking towering pines. The Buena Vista Creek and the Fleur Valley floor 80 feet below. Try the Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids. It's a must play for Wisconsin golfers. SaveBigOnGolf.com is presented weekly by Boulevard Lanes. Fall leagues are forming now at Boulevard Lanes, 10 Pin Alley, and Prairie Lanes. Sign up today. Don't forget, this Tuesday morning starting at 7 a.m., log on to SaveBigOnGolf.com. Get 18 holes of golf for just $25. But there's only 100 certificates are available. Certificates are good for the entire golf season, but please see website for any restrictions. Wisconsin football single game tickets are currently on sale. Tickets are currently available for the home final against Cal Poly on Saturday, November 22nd. To order, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit ewbadgers.com. And volleyball fans, don't miss the Wisconsin Volleyball Fan Fest Saturday, August 23rd. Get photos and autographs from your favorite players and watch a team scrimmage at the UW Fieldhouse starting at 5 p.m. Admission is free. For details, visit ewbadgers.com.
Mark, technician for Autoglass Specialists and SafeLight Autoglass, on exciting career opportunities.
We're growing fast, and we need more technicians to help keep our customers happy. You get unlimited earning potential with great starting pay, plus bonuses, full benefits packages, and lots more.
Call Autoglass Specialists and SafeLight at 1-800-462-2259 or go to safelight.com/career.jsp.
Autoglass Specialists, we're the guys in the little red trucks.
What have you done for your marriage today? While you're thinking, here's what other people had to say.
My husband and my daughter and I went for a walk together.
Well, and it's going to be her birthday next week, so I've been spending time today making arrangements to make that extra special.
I called my wife on the phone, and I told her, Sue, I love you, and I meant it.
I flirted with my husband like when we first got married.
I have carried my wife's purse.
What I have done for my marriage today is give my wife a break, take the kids out, and have a good time so she can just relax.
I know I didn't fight.
What have I done for my marriage today? Wow. I don't know.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up.
What have I done? I'm actually giving my wife the rest of the day off from me. She's going to visit with her girlfriend.
What have you done for your marriage today? Try something new to make yours great. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Hear the news?
Leaders in the Janesville area didn't see today's GM plant closure news coming.
And the newsmakers.
We have on with us here Senator Judy Robson of Beloit. Of course, that is her Senate district. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
So were you expecting this? Did you kind of have a gut feeling?
Governor Doyle was down giving them retraining grants, but no, we didn't see it coming. We just thought it would be a slowdown.
Madison in the morning, Monday morning after 5, on News Talk 1310 WIVA.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
When severe weather threatens, keep your radio tuned to News Talk 1310 WIBA, your official weather station. 1310 WIBA, Madison. Win the ride of your life. A fully loaded 2008 Lincoln MKZ from Gordy Boucher, Lincoln Mercury, 1310 WIBA. Log on now to WIBA.com. Keyword Dream Drive.
Somebody sent me an email that says, Jesus is on a full-sized billboard near Memorial Bridge in Janesville. Says, great schools benefit everyone. WEAC paid for it. What on earth is Jesus doing on a billboard? I don't get it. And I haven't seen that billboard. So if you know what my emailer is talking about, please give me a call at 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. But before we say hi to Scott, who's been patiently holding through on the line, Dave, will you play that cut one more time about how we're spending no money, we don't tax people for education, from Marge Passman, Madison Metropolitan Board member.
Our government has paid no attention to education. While there are countries all over the world that are making incredible investments because their countries are taxed. And they are pouring this into education, pouring it in, and they're getting incredible results.
Whoa.
So every time you see our country compared to another country, you have to say to yourself, why is that the case? And the case is that money is going into education. Whoa. But since Sputnik era, we have put no money in this country into our children's education. None.
This is why we need to drug test members of the Madison Metropolitan Board of Education. Scott, thanks for holding through.
Vicki, I thank you for letting me talk on this one. When I hear somebody like Marjorie talk about other countries' educational systems, comparing ours to theirs, and saying that their success rates are a function of their tax rate,
One second. Cato Institute actually took a look at some of the countries that do better than us and find that there is actually more choice in education among other countries, that parents can actually choose where to send their kids, what kind of curriculum to choose for their kids. So it is interesting that choice never came up in what she had to say.
Well, what I can add to the discussion is this. When I was in high school, I spent a year abroad studying in one of these other countries that's doing very well. I was in Switzerland. I had the opportunity to go to school there for a year. And there's a major difference. And I don't think it's really a function of money so much as it's a function of accountability. And here's how it works. You want to get into a high school there. There's plenty of them, but you have to compete. You have to take entrance exams. And when you get into one, if you fall below, at that time when I was in high school, you fall below, say, a C-minus average, you repeat the grade. You fall below again, and you're out, and you got to find another high school. And they went to school 6 days a week around the clock all year long. And if you think the parents weren't involved on a daily basis with how well their children were doing, then people are missing the point. And if you finally did, you know, flunk out and you couldn't get into another high school, there are plenty of vocational schools, and they gave you the education, although you had to pay, i.e. the parents had to pay, but you would wind up with a job. You wouldn't go to college, but you'd have a job. It's accountability. And if we don't, provide an environment where we demand accountability from the students and from the parents, then we can pour money at this problem for the rest of our lives.
You know what?
I
want to add some people to the list of accountable people, from the parents, from the students, from the administrators and the stewards of our tax money. You know, because some accountability needs to be demanded from the people who are spending the money that folks in the Madison Metropolitan School District give over more freely than other districts in the state of Wisconsin. We need accountability on all fronts. And you know what? No Child Left behind is not going to get that done for us. And we don't really have anybody who wants to really drop the hammer on accountability, at least not yet. I'm not sure about Dan Nierad or if he's the guy who might start instituting some of these policies. Who knows? I'll be open-minded about that. But right now, we don't have it. We don't have a general thought process that even goes down that path. One more time, Dave. Play that cut one more time. And, Scott, I thank you for your comments. I really do. Thank you for your clarity of thought as well in expressing them.
Since the 1970s, our government has paid no attention to education. While there are countries all over the world that are making incredible investments because their countries are taxed. And they are pouring this into education, pouring it in, and they're getting incredible results. So every time you see our country compared to another country, you have to say to yourself, why is that the case? And the case is that money is going into education. But since Sputnik era, we have put no money in this country into our children's education. None.
None. 1957, we haven't dumped one red tax cent into education. Not one. You know, I guess that she missed the last budget debate in the state of Wisconsin legislature, didn't she? I've got Wisconsin spending since 99 up 42.6%. Madison Metropolitan School District spending since 99 up 37.6%. Year-to-year averages for Bush administration federal education spending 18% per year. And somewhere north of about $80 billion is what that works out to, ladies and gentlemen. But damn, I say we listen to Marge Passman instead. You know what? I guess it's cocktail hour the nights the school board meets in Madison. That might be some fun. Maybe I'll go to the next board meeting. We'll be right back.
Since the 1970s, our government has paid no attention to education. While there are countries all over the world that are making incredible investments because their countries are taxed. And they are pouring this into education, pouring it in, and they're getting incredible results. So every time you see our country compared to another country, you have to say to yourself, why is that the case? And the case is that money is going into education. But since Sputnik era, we have put no money in this country into our children's education. None.
Always on demand at WIBA.com. Logged on. Tuned in. Live from the Amcor Bank News Center, this is continuing team coverage on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Family members wonder if an Edgerton murder-suicide could have been prevented. And just when does Russia plan to leave Georgia? At 3:30, it's partly cloudy and 78 in Madison. Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Miller. Our top story, questions linger after this week's murder-suicide in Edgerton.
25-year-old Sean Vorderman and his 24-year-old wife, Jennifer, were found dead in their home yesterday of gunshot wounds. It follows a week of reportedly suicidal behavior by Sean. Last Wednesday, there was a check welfare call to the home, and late Saturday night, Jennifer's Aunt Julie says Sean was taken to Rock County's mental health center after threatening suicide, only to be released, she says, less than an hour later.
Why, we were all so relieved because we thought they're going to hold Sean and find out what's going on with him and help him. So yeah, again, it's too late for them, but I just feel like that our professionals need to be more sensitive. I really think this could have been avoided. I just do.
Julie Ellingson says her niece told Sean on Sunday she was leaving him while they'd been together for 6 years. They had only been married for less than a year. Robin Colbert, News Talk, 1310 WIBA.
A couple accused of letting their 11-year-old daughter die of untreated diabetes has pleaded not guilty to second-degree reckless homicide. Dale and Leilani Newman were charged after their daughter, Kara, died on Easter Sunday. The family had prayed for her instead of seeking medical care. Promises. Russian forces no closer to leaving Georgia.
Those Russians are still less than 30 miles away from the capital of Tbilisi. No sign of any major pullback from the Russians, but we are hearing from the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. He is saying that pullback will begin in 3 days' time. Of course, this is the same man who said the pullback would begin last Monday. Before that, he said it would start last Friday.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Brussels for an emergency NATO meeting on the crisis, telling reporters it is time for the Russian president to keep his word to withdraw Russian forces. Women, the economy, and health care. That's what Wisconsin Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin will discuss next week at the Democratic National Convention. She'll be speaking on Tuesday night. Meanwhile, Barack Obama begins his trek to Denver Saturday with a special event in Springfield, Illinois. It's speculated that's where he will announce his running mate. Traffic and weather together. Our next 1310 WIBA News Time 3:32.
Hi, this is Brett Bielema, and I'd like to personally invite you to join me in the first ever Caribbean Cruise with the Coaches. A great chance for you and the faithful to get to know me and my coaches off the field. You'll get exclusive access to onboard receptions and dinners every night with me and my staff, in addition to all the luxuries you'd expect of a Royal Caribbean cruise. I'll see you next February on the one and only Cruise with the Coaches.
Coach Bielema and his staff are ready to take in a little Caribbean sun and answer your not-so-tough questions. Cabins aboard the Royal Caribbean Navigator of the Seas start at just $828 plus airfare. The five-night cruise departs February 9th from Fort Lauderdale and includes all meals, entertainment, and gratuities. Plus, you'll have private receptions with the coaches and shore visits in Mexico and Belize. There are several pools, hot tubs, an onboard spa, and more. Brought to you by Burkhalter Travel and the Wisconsin Alumni Association. Go to WIBA.com, keyword, Cruise with the Coaches, to reserve your cabin. Don't wait. Cabins are going fast.
He's a man.
Your top three films of all time.
Talking about manly things.
Forrest Gump. I just think that's a sweet movie.
It is.
And The Notebook.
Boy, you like the chick flicks, don't you?
That Notebook just kind of touched me.
I love The Notebook. I did love it. I like those movies. I do. You see The Notebook?
I sure did.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
Are you man enough to listen?
Oh, how about those bears? No, forget it.
Outside the Box with Mitch Henk. Monday morning after 8:30 on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
And weather central for tonight, becoming mostly clear. Low of 59, mostly sunny, warm on Wednesday, a high of 84. It's partly cloudy, 78 in Madison. Will Madison residents go for a phased-in referendum? We'll have that story at 4 on 1310 WIBA. And from the Amcor Bank News Center, I'm Jennifer Miller.
Continuing coverage at the top of the hour. And news on demand 24-7 at WIBA.com.
If you're thinking of a bowling tune-up before fall leagues, why not bowl for a cause?
Badger Bowls Bowl for a Cause Marathon is Saturday, August 23rd to Saturday, August 3rd.
Bring the whole family Saturday, August 23rd for Cops for Kids, where bowlers get 20 games for $20, and kids get to meet real-life SWAT team members and members of the canine squad.
Tuesday, August 29th is Bowl for United Way with three shifts, with bowlers receiving one-hour bowling for just $15, and they get to demo the latest in bowling gear during demo days. There's PBA coaching on hand, and shift three is family fun, where a family of six can bowl for 1 hour for just $14.
Wednesday, August 27th, it's Bowl to Save Lives with the United Way. And it's 8-pin tap day, where 8 pins or more equals a strike.
Thursday, August 28th, is Humane Society's Dollar Day. All dollars go to the Humane Society of Dane County.
And Saturday, August 30th, it's Millions Striking for a World Record.
It's the free season, and you can do something good for your community with Badger Bowl's Bowl for a Cause Marathon, Saturday, August 23rd, is Saturday, August 30th. For complete details, go to badgerbowl.com or stop by any day and join the fun.
Technology is constantly changing. Is your business keeping up? If not, it could be in danger of constant security threats, lapses in communication, and higher administrative costs. You need a partner who knows the latest trends and advances in IT solutions. CDW Berbe specializes in unified communications, security, and managed services. CDW Berbe delivers solutions that combine the best the industry has to offer to give you the results your business demands. Visit berbe.com. That's berbe.com.
Were they UFOs over the skies of San Diego?
And this is like no airplane I've ever seen can move this fast.
Last year was an incredible year for sightings.
Well, what does it mean?
Coast to Coast AM. Late nights on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Now, back to Upfront.
All guests on Upfront appear courtesy of the Charter phone line, part of the Charter bundle package.
Once again, here's Vicki McKenna on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
I injured myself with my headphones. I think that's Marge Passman with a Vicki McKenna voodoo doll slapping me in the face. Hey, lady, I didn't say it. And we're not going to let you ever, ever forget what you said on Mitch Hank's show today. Can we get to Bob here? Is it Bob that I'm looking at? All right, I want to just squeeze in Bob. Rob. I'm sorry. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thanks for the call. I tried to get on the Mitch's show earlier and talk to Marge.
What she was talking about earlier was expenditures, and the major expenditures in the Massachusetts school district are energy, water, and food and fuel. Now, the funny thing is, coming from a liberal...
That isn't what she meant when she made that statement.
No, I know that.
But, okay.
But the funny thing coming from a liberal is, who is the reason why energy, food, fuel cost the most? Pretty much their crowd, right?
Well, absolutely.
Who refuses?
By the way, since you brought it up, I've got a guy coming up at 4 o'clock who's going to talk about the energy slash transportation slash food costs. So you're going to definitely want to be listening at 4.
Let's talk about the fuel aspect of it. Every single thing from the first nail that's drilled into the wall or first screw drilled into the wall comes on a truck. Everything that goes to a school, the kids come on a bus, that's all with fuel. These are the same people that will not let us build nuclear power plants, coal plants, will not let us drill for oil and build refineries. If we have these people in power, the price is going to do nothing but keep going up. Commodities will keep going up. When transportation, the cost of moving goods goes up, the price on every single thing from a piece of paper to a pencil goes up. These are the same people that we let have the power of this. And until we step in and change it, on the national level, local level, state level, it's never going to change, and people's taxes are going to keep going up. People need to stand up and say, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say. That cannot be allowed. We got to have some people on our school board that understand and then say to the people, we need to go after the energy. We need to bring down the cost of energy. We need to bring down the cost of fuel.
But I tell you another thing. Those same people who are doing absolutely nothing to bring down the cost of energy are the same people who are doing absolutely nothing to negotiate union contracts. People who are doing absolutely nothing to negotiate administrative contracts.
We're not even attacking teachers or salaries right now. Granted, the health care, if there's a premium that costs $1,000, there's a premium that costs $2,000. I don't understand why there's an option for the $2,000 one. But teachers are handcuffed. There's not enough money to give teachers raises, to invest in schools, because we're spending money on energy, food, and fuel.
I disagree. I agree about what you're saying about getting control of the energy cost. There is enough money for the teachers.
That's
absolutely true.
That's just Madison. But energy is the key issue in all this. Everybody needs to understand that it's a trickle-down effect. The first cost of that first gallon of diesel.
I got to tell you something, though, Rob. You've got to think back to 2005, and I want you to think back to 2003, and I want you to think back to every single time an operating budget referendum has been proposed here in the city of Madison.
See, I'm a young guy. I'm only 24 years old.
I want you to listen. I want you to just look back. It's not always energy. Energy is obviously something we've got to get a handle on, and absolutely nothing that any of the liberals are supporting will help us do that. But this is mismanagement. This is bad stewardship of taxpayer money.
I completely agree. I'm just trying to draw a correlation.
I don't disagree, and I think that absolutely true that if we're letting the hens guard, if we're letting the fox guard the hen house, you know exactly what's going to happen. But I want to get back to union contracts, because it's kind of off the theme that Rob said. And in the last two contracts, we didn't even fight. The Madison School Board, the school district in Madison, didn't even bother to have a fight with MTI. We approved contracts. We didn't even know how we were going to pay for them. Don Severson is in from Active Citizens for Education to talk about some of the money issues here. Don, how do you approve contracts and you don't even know if you're going to have the money at the end of the year? You don't even know if you're going to have to go to... They approve contracts not even knowing whether they'll find it or be able to talk taxpayers into giving it to them.
The simple answer to that is you have four votes.
You have four votes on the school board.
Yep.
Yeah, and that happened the last two contract negotiations. We approved contracts, we didn't even have a fight, and we didn't know how we were going to pay for the increases.
Well, there was a fight on the last one in executive session. It wasn't reported as such, but there was a motion. It was defeated 4-3.
That's not a fight. That's an ass kicking.
Well, it is, but it's closer than it's ever been before.
It's true.
so we'll take it.
All right, let's talk about this referendum. I mean, now we've heard, and we're going to hear it one more time. We've heard school board member Marge Passman, fantasize about a country where nobody spends any money from taxes on education. But let's talk about what it's going to mean now, this latest proposal. It's 5-4-4, 5 million, 4 million, 4 million. So it's a three-year tier. 5 million the first year, then 4 million, then 4 million. But Let's talk about the numbers. Let's make sure people recognize what the real numbers are regarding the 5-4-4. So you do such a beautiful job of this. That's why I brought you in. So hit it, Don.
Okay, $5 million question for year one raises the base for the revenue cap for every year following. This is what they call a recurring referendum. So that $5 million added to that base is $5 million every year after that
forever.
In perpetuity.
Forever.
Or if you don't understand that, forever.
Forever.
Right.
All right, so $5 million forever.
Okay, but now there's another piece to that.
There is.
There is the negative aids, which this district must pay into the state based on the fact that Madison is a high property value district. So we pay in roughly, just for easy figuring, it's right at $60, 60% in addition. So for every dollar levied in taxes against property, there's another 60 cents added to that that we don't spend here. We give to the state to equalize the aids to the poorer school districts.
So, for every dollar, it's really $1.60. For every dollar of your taxes they want, what you really have to pay is $1.60 of your taxes.
So what it means on a $5 million question, 60% is $3 million. So there is actually $8 million levied against the property taxpayers in this district.
Year one.
Year one.
Year two, then, is also, it also has to take into account the negative aids, that 60%. I'm going to guess that's somewhere around $6.5 million instead of $4 million.
6.4, basically.
How about that? Right off the top of my head there, Don.
And I can do, and we can do that without a calculator.
So we've got eight, not five. We have got 6.4, not four, 6.4. And remember, these numbers pile on to one another and you pay them forever. So 8 million in the first year, but in the second year it's 6.4 million plus 8 million.
Correct.
The third year it's 6.4 million plus 6.4 million plus 8 million that you're paying in perpetuity. That's what this really means. It's not only four. You've got to pay four plus eight, or in this case, or rather four plus five. In this case, you know, I'm confusing people because I didn't include the 60% there. But it really is $8 million in the first year, then $8 million plus 6.4 million in the second year, then $8 million plus 6.4 million plus another 6.4 million in the third year, and then add all that together, and then you're going to pay that into perpetuity.
So you're looking at $20.8 million.
It's really a $20.8 million referendum in perpetuity.
Correct.
That's what it's for. That is what it's for.
By the end of the third year, then it's 20 point every year after that.
And we are being told to trust the district that they will get a handle on these problems. We're being told that, you know, trust us, we'll take care of it. I don't see any kind of accountability attached to this referendum question. I don't see anything that says, if you give us this, taxpayers, if you pay $20.8 million for this, we will promise under penalty of, I don't know what, incarceration, to make sure we deal with the fiscal crisis we allowed ourselves to get painted into. And I don't see that in this question. This is just more money. So we say, okay, more. Just don't ask me for more next year. But they will. And we don't ever get anything in return for that. And we don't get a better education. We don't get kids who do better in reading. We don't get kids who do better in math. You know, we don't get the bang for our buck. This is what they're calling cost to continue. And it's baloney. It's got this. At some point, the insanity's got to stop here. But I don't really see anybody really all that interested right now in waving the flag of stop the insanity.
Well, part of the good news, bad news of this is the good news is that they're at least looking at
that. Is good news.
Wait, in other words, the whole business of the accounting procedures, that sort of thing, is a positive. Before this, they wouldn't have even looked at it. They didn't know enough to look what to look for, because the administration never showed anybody, provided the leadership for that. So,
You know, the hangover we're going to have to feel from Art Rainwater as superintendent is going to be felt for a very long time in this district. I mean, and we had a board that did not want to challenge him. I'm happy to see that the superintendent is more willing to be transparent about some of the costs. But, you know, when you talk about health care, when you talk about group health cooperative versus WPS, when you talk about 40% of contracted employees still on WPS, you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, you know, we haven't done everything we can possibly do. When you talk about $9,000 per kid for a failed reading program, wait a second, we haven't done everything we can do. When you've got, how many did you tell me the last time, how many administrative teachers?
The last I knew was 72.
72 administrative teachers not in the classroom. Clearly, we have not done everything we can do. So it's more the same as far as I'm concerned. Clearly, they haven't done everything they can do. And now we're supposed to just go forward and listen to the trust us. All right. Well, I trust but verify. And thus far, They haven't verified much. I'm gonna give credit for Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiak who have been better than the other members on the board, but most of what we're getting is the same kind of drivel that Marge Passman passed on in a clearly drunken state on Mitch Hanks' show earlier this morning. So we'll be right back.
Keeping you sane from the insanity of the left. Upfront with Vicki McKenna on Newstalk 1310 WIBA.
Check out the newest addition to downtown Madison, the new University Square food court on the second floor of the new University Square building. Easy walk-in access off the new East Campus Mall or parking off Lake Street in University Square's new public parking ramp. The food court features covered outdoor seating, free Wi-Fi, and plasma TVs. The University Square food court is a perfect start to any downtown outing. Satisfy your cravings for lunch and dinner 7 days a week at the new University Square food court on the second floor of the University Square building. Stop by now to register to win men's basketball and hockey tickets from your favorite Wisconsin university.
It's remodeling season again, but you're not sure where to begin or who to trust with your project. Easy. Hire the most reliable and trustworthy home improvement experts in the area, Classy Building, Flooring, and Design. For over 30 years, the Classy team has been making the building and remodeling process as seamless as possible. Whether you're building a new luxury home, remodeling, or desire hardwood flooring, see why the name says it all. Classy Building, Flooring, and Design. That's Classy with a K. 848-5776 or go to classybuilding.com.
I'm Jim Classy of Classy Building. We're not about gimmicks or sales pitches. We're not about coupons or crazy TV commercials either. We're all about integrity, impeccable customer satisfaction, and old-world craftsmanship that's second to none.
For over 30 years, the Classy family has been designing and remodeling award-winning homes and installing hardwood flooring. From concept to completion, see why the name says it all. Classy Building, Flooring, and Design. That's Classy with a K. 848-5776 or go to classybuilding.com.
The emerald ash borer has been discovered in Wisconsin. Tragically, thousands of healthy trees in Michigan were cut down in an attempt to eradicate this pest. There are effective control measures that can be taken, and Hams Arbor Care can provide these services. Not every ash tree should be considered for treatment, so let a board-certified master arborist tour your yard and tailor an approach to fit your specific needs. Don't let this pest destroy your trees. To learn more, go to hamsarborcare.com today and click on the emerald ash borer.
It's one part information.
You got to consider Medicare and Social Security as part of your tax. That's a big chunk out of that $35,000.
It's one part crazy.
Do I sound cantankerous this morning? You know,
no, I thought you actually
Tony
sounded
thought
like
I was getting too hard on Hillary.
With a dash of sarcasm.
Oh, I thought you probably got up on the right side of the bed for a change.
I'm feeling rested.
It's the recipe for a great talk show.
I appreciate your show, by the way. You've got a great program.
Gary, I appreciate it.
Outside the Box with Mitch Hank, Monday morning at 8:30 on Newstalk 1310 WIBA.
America's beloved digital goddess, Kim Komando here. Listen to my show, The Kim Komando Computer Show, brought to you by Computer Repair Specialists, Sunday mornings at 7 on WIBA. I'll be your guide to all things cyber. I'll answer your questions, plus I'll even give you a few little neat tips on making your computing fun and easy. So join me Sunday mornings at 7 for The Kim Komando Computer Show on Newstalk 1310 WIBA. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, everybody. Mitch Hank outside the box coming up after Madison in the morning. We'll talk to a critic of the Canadian healthcare system saying it's not all it's cracked up to be, and also the latest on the presidential trail outside the box.
All right, I'm just eyeballing my time here. I think we can squeeze in Mark. Mark, I'm afraid we're not going to have a lot of time, but welcome to the program. Thanks for holding through.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi there.
I just would like to say, How do the teachers in this city get the best health coverage when it comes from city taxpayers that are just fighting to have any type of health insurance? The same as what the city 911 call center is all about. Take, but don't give enough back. And I'm really tired of this, and I think it's about time we have a referendum to look at the conflict of interest between that guy on the board of directors for WPS and the union that keeps on giving all these city employees WPS high premium coverage. Who's making all the money off of that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't discourage you from exploring that conflict of interest. And, of course, he's talking about John Matthews. We still have a significant number of people covered under WPS. And this is, Don, how much more expensive is that per year, per year than group health cooperative insurance?
About $12,000.
Per person.
About $1,000 a month per person.
$1,000 a month per person.
Correct.
Isn't that a joke?
It's worse than that, I'm sorry.
It isn't a joke, and I shouldn't have laughed. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Don, I want you to talk about this three-legged issue again, just so people can kind of understand, because we're going to run out of time here, and I want you to sort of just put a nice exclamation point at the end of the sentence.
Okay. Leg one of the stool is efficiencies. Looking at transportation, leases, blah, blah, blah. Second piece of the leg are the accounting procedures. For example, the new Fund 41, the reference to Fund 80, those kinds of things. But the third leg that they weren't talking about and haven't moved significantly in the direction with, and that is doing analyses and evaluations of current programs and services and practices, both educational and business. We have to know what these things are costing and what results we're getting. And if it's not getting the results we want or that we need, then we need to change the programs or practices or services.
And it would have been a lot easier if we had an ongoing assessment, if we had just been evaluating programs as the programs came online, and we could have been generating years of data without a lot of hassle, without a lot of headache, without any kind of significant cost associated with generating that data. And now what we're asking for them to do is something that no board member in the past in the majority on the Madison School Board ever demanded. And unfortunately, the minority doesn't have the power to demand these kinds of changes. And the same, of course, is true this time around.
Well, to the credit of Superintendent Nearhead, he is, and Eric Cass, who is the new business manager, to their credit, they are, in words so far, committed to doing these kinds of things. Now, what we're really talking about is only 15% of the budget, because salaries and benefits of employees is 85%.
Well, there's your fourth leg of the stool. That suddenly becomes a chair.
Right.
All right. Salaries and benefits at 85%. Yeah. And we haven't done anything significantly to address that situation.
But it's going back to what a previous caller commented about. Don't mind paying taxes if you have the confidence that the money is being used and managed effectively, and it's getting results in terms of achievement and learning on the part of the kids. And if you want to put it in poor English, it ain't.
It ain't. And you know what? School facts in my hand from generated by the nonpartisan Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. And thanks to the efforts from your organization, they did it for us, for our district, so we could actually see just what the district numbers were. We didn't have to look at the state numbers and sift through it. And we're not doing what we should be doing in fourth grade reading, in fourth grade math, in eighth grade reading, in eighth grade math. I'm looking at the test results here. We are being beaten by peer districts, and we spend more per pupil, and we are beaten by peer districts.
See, the thing is, Vicki, we have for several years now budgeted on a same service budget or a continued cost budget. You can't keep doing the same thing and get different results.
It's the definition of insanity.
It is.
It is. Don Severson, a pleasure.
Thank you.
As always, thank you very much. Active Citizens for Education. Don Severson. We'll be right back.